Perhaps we could turn this morning to the psalm numbered 147 in our Bible, the psalm numbered 147. And just as we have turned to this portion of Scripture, we'll unite our hearts together as we pray. Let us all pray. Our loving Father, we're very thankful for the knowledge of thy presence this morning. It is good for us to wait at thy footstool, to ask of thee, as Samuel of old could say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And Father, we need thee to speak to our hearts just now. Wilt thou draw near to those who need thee particularly, some who may be struggling in heart, striving to overcome some difficulty? We pray that thou would give the grace that they so much need. Father, hide the human instrument behind the cross. This is thy word, and we pray that it will come as from thyself. We pray for our Saviour's sake and for his glory. Amen. I am sure that many of us who love the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour have found much help and much encouragement from the meditating on the book of Psalms. The Psalms, with all their various testimonies, highlight something of the trials and the testing that God's people continually pass through. And I think there is no other section of the Scriptures that is more resorted to than the wonderful book of Psalms. We see many, many experiences that we can identify with. And yet when we come to the closing section of the Psalms, we come to a quintet which invites us and exhorts us into the great ministry of praise and of thanksgiving. No doubt you have noted on other occasions that the Psalm 146 through to Psalm 150 commences with "Praise ye the Lord," and also ends each psalm with "Praise ye the Lord." The word "hallelujah" is a universal word. It is a word that you most certainly have been rendering to the Lord this morning. And yet we have to acknowledge that it is the devil's intent that God's people should forfeit the ministry of praise. He would rather that we should murmur and complain rather than engage our hearts in this sanctifying ministry of thanksgiving. And yet we also recognize that there are times whenever our hearts are sad and troubled. We compare ourselves quite rightly with the children of Israel, wondering how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land. And yet still the exhortation to praise the Lord is constantly brought before us. And in this quintet of Psalms, this exhortation is brought with regularity and indeed with much encouragement. It is striking if we just look at the Psalm 146 before we come to the opening verses of Psalm 147, how the gracious Lord takes over the situations of his people. And it is a wonderful thing always to appreciate when the Lord steps in. How often we have been able to recognize that when we've reached the end of our hoarded resources, then our Father's full giving has only begun. And you can see there a series of adjectives that speak so directly of the Lord intervening on behalf of his people. You take verse 7 of Psalm 146, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. Now, I would say without hesitation, there are some here who are bowed down. I know it's easy, in a sense, to sing these great songs of Zion, And many times we enter into the singing of these hymns with joy and with gladness. We want our expression to be recognized and even observed. But sometimes within the heart, there's a struggle. And while we see other people praising the Lord and expressing such wonderful testimonies of His goodness, there are occasions when we are cast down. Isn't it good to know that the Lord raiseth them that are bowed down? And if you're bowed down this morning, for whatever reason, and you find it hard to articulate that expression of praise, then here's a word for you. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. Isn't it good to know that the Lord is touched with the feelings of our infirmity? He's not expecting that which we cannot offer, but He is touched just with the exact feeling of your heart today. So this series of Psalms is a series that exercises the ministry of praise and thanksgiving. And so we will read just the first three verses of the Psalm 147. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praises commonly. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. We know that God will add His blessing to the public reading of His own precious and holy word. It is a cause, I believe, for much regret this morning that the subject of praise has often been distorted in this age of liberalization and modernization. Indeed, it would be right for me to make the comment that sometimes the spirit of praise is almost unrecognizable in the way in which it is expressed. For the Bible tells us very plainly that whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation or his behavior aright, will I show the salvation of God. Now when we therefore are looking at the great subject of praise, we must see it in terms of an offering. And an offering, of course, brings our minds and our hearts to center upon the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we would see praise as bringing together this wonderful truth that as we offer our praise and our thanksgiving, we do so in full light of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we say thank God for the precious blood that was shed for our salvation. And as we think of our praise in terms of an offering, I want you to see this morning from this short portion of Scripture that we have just read a number of points that I trust will be helpful and beneficial to you. I want you to notice, first of all, the glory of the song. When we read the words, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, we are immediately elevated into that place where we are to glorify God. And indeed, we are so familiar with those words of the Catechism that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And when we lift our voices and our hearts in praise and in thanksgiving, it is that we might exalt and magnify the great God of heaven, the very one whose eyes are purer than to behold iniquity. And so when we read these words, we read words that God has placed before us describing praise as good, describing praise as pleasant, describing praise as commonly. This, I believe, draws us to inspiration, in that the Christian life needs to be perpetually inspired by fresh incentives. There is nothing worse in any one of our lives than to find our hearts spiritually stagnating, to become spiritually cold and spiritually indifferent to the things of God. And when we recall the words of Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, we think of words that give to us the challenge that we daily need to take to heart. What doth the Lord require of me? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. The very life that walks in such a fashion will have a priority for praise. Their heart will compose those expressions of thanksgiving. They will enter into the knowledge of praise with a joy and with a gratitude that will glorify God. It is a wonderful subject for God's people to praise their great Creator. Very often we are confronted with the music of the world. And sometimes in an effort to liven up things, the ministry of praise can be brought into a situation where there is this rhythm and beat and so on to attract the response of the flesh. But such doesn't really glorify the Lord. We need to always keep in mind that the purity of praise must be maintained. The place of praise must be ever preserved. And the person of praise must ever inspire our hearts. God says in his word, "For it is good." That is, it draws inspiration. But not only does it draw inspiration, but it discerns intimacy. And that we discover as we think of the word pleasant, because we know from those familiar words of the Psalm 100 that we are to enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. I know of no greater experience in the life of any dear believer than that experience that is described in Psalm 16 and verse 11. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. It must be more than significant that when we read through the book Song of Solomon, that the word pleasant becomes very prominent in that wonderful book. It is a book, of course, as I understand it, that reflects the intimacy between the bride and the bridegroom. Beloved, thou art fair, we read in chapter 1, verse 16. My beloved, yea, pleasant. In chapter 4, verse 16, and let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Chapter 7, verse 13, at our gates are all manner of pleasant fruits, new and old, which I have laid up for thee, O my beloved. The one thing that I believe we all would pray for more and more is for the knowledge of God's presence. I express my thoughts on this matter. They're very personal. But the one thing that I would fear more than anything else in my ministry would be for the presence of God to depart. And where that spirit of praise is, and where that expression of thanksgiving is found, and where people in gratitude of soul would lift up their hearts to glorify and to magnify the Lord in such a manner that we must decrease and He must increase, and then we can surely say that not only is praise good, but praise is pleasant. We also read, of course, that praise is commonly. And that is because it destroys ingratitude. There are fewer sins committed by the child of God that are to be condemned more than the sin of ingratitude. An unthankful spirit is the mother of murmuring and the father of pride. Seldom, if ever, is the glory of the song considered when self conceives selfishness, which in turn conceives self-reliance, which then in turn conceives self-righteousness. A sanctimonious spirit does not give way to praise that is commonly. Dear child of God, always be grateful for little tokens as well as larger tokens for good. And I know that you'll have little difficulty in discovering from God's precious word how you can express your praise, because over and over again there are great reasons why you this very day and I this day should praise the Lord, for it is good, it is pleasant, and it is commonly. Verse 2 of the psalm gives us a good reason. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. The prophet Jeremiah was raised up by God to be a rod of chastening and correction for the peoples of Israel and of Judah. He spoke in a very powerful way, in a way that was often pictorially descriptive and powerfully delivered. And as he brought the message of God to the people, he reminded them in language that was easily understood that their sorrows were incurable due to the multitude of their iniquities. He highlighted also the increase of their sins and how it was to lead to their dispersion and scattering at the hand of Almighty God. On the surface, it would seem as if his message was all doom and gloom. But yet, in an act of amazing grace, he went on to declare to the people, "For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, This is Zion, whom no man seeketh." Dear men and women, God can bring together the outcasts of Israel. He can do that. And I know that today, as has been acknowledged publicly in prayer, we remember our little province very particularly. We wonder, will God ever visit us again? We wonder if the thoughts and the memory of the 1859 revival would become a reality to us, that we would see once more multitudes of people being brought into the kingdom of God. God can gather in the outcasts. God can send revival. When we think of Jerusalem, we think of a city that has had 20 foreign forces ruling over it since it was conquered by David. And yet there it stands today as the capital of Israel. Oh, dear men and women, he who has built up Jerusalem, will he not build up his church? Has he not made that a promise in his word? I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, it's all very easy, and I understand this, to look at things through the optical understanding of despair and discouragement. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Because he who gathers the outcasts of Israel can gather the people to himself once again. Oh, I long for that day, as you do, that God will pour out of his Spirit upon his church once again, and that we will be able to sing with truth that a mighty revival is sweeping this way. Dear child of God, don't give up. I know Dr. Paisley's words have often echoed down through the corridors of time in all of our churches. The end is not yet, and the best has yet to be. God, the one whom we praise, he is able to gather again his people. Oh, may it be even today. But notice also that there is the gentleness of the Savior here. It says in that verse 3 that he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Sometimes, indeed oftentimes, it is very difficult to praise the Lord when your heart's breaking. I haven't really got the full knowledge of what has been said this morning, but I detected that some dear family and the congregation here has been bereaved in a very painful way. And of course that is reflected of many, many people. The Lord is saying to us here that he heals the broken in heart. They bindeth up their wounds. It is that unseen part of all of us that perhaps presents the greatest need. No one can see those silent, those private moments when the tear falls and the heart sighs under the burden of whatever experience it has entered into. And we wonder, could we ever recover from it? But the Lord would have us to say to you today that he healeth the broken in heart. I am sure, like Dr. Douglas, I too have visited many, many people who I never thought would recover from the tragedy or the catastrophe that befell them. And yet over and over again we've proven that the Lord does heal the broken in heart. But the heart is not only broken because of bereavement. Sometimes the heart is broken because a word has been said Or maybe a deed has been done that has caused you to be hurt, has caused you to be wounded. And could it be that there's someone in this gathering who is carrying such a wound? You feel offended. You feel that someone has hurt you in such a grieving manner that you're struggling hard to get over it. Well, let me say this. The Lord healeth the broken in heart. A dear friend of ours was called to the city hospital some couple of years ago. A dear man had been diagnosed as having a brain tumor and had been told that he had only a couple of weeks to live. He sent for this dear man and he went to see him, and whenever he came to his bedside, the man who was so ill said to him, "I'm glad you came. Because for many, many years I've carried a grudge in my heart against you. And I do not want to meet my Lord with that grudge upon my heart." The dear man, he said to his friend, "Thank you so much, but I knew nothing about it." So often we do the harm to ourselves. We forfeit the ministry of praise because there's something that lies within the heart that ought not to be there. But when it lies there, the Lord can heal the broken in heart. The Lord can bind up the wound. So that you might enter into this ministry and discover that praise is good, that praise is pleasant, and that praise is commonly. That brings me finally to what I believe is most central to all of us in this service, and that is to him who was wounded for our transgressions and who was bruised for our iniquities. If you're not saved this morning, if you know nothing of the wonderful grace and power of the gospel, we invite you to come to our beloved Savior. Sin leaves a devastating mark upon the life. But what is more, it will bring you to a Christless hell. I'm glad that we read in the scriptures that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He changes people's lives. He makes them a new creature. And he can do that for you this Sabbath morning. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing for you to leave this service today and you would express praise the Lord, my soul, for he healeth the broken in heart and he bindeth up their wounds. Oh, may he graciously apply his word to your life this morning. Thank you so much for listening.